today on Real Radio.
God is going to, as the Bible in the English puts it, rapture his church out of here because God did it with Enoch. Are there events in the Bible that sample or show us that God can remove people from this earth and bring that person or people into his presence? The answer is an overwhelming yes.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1, continues a series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs actually stack up to Scripture? Well, this series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. The doctrine of future events is one of the most controversial doctrines in the Bible. But God himself tells of future events all the way back in Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3, he tells us that through Eve's genealogy, his promises and plans of salvation will come. So from the world's beginning, spoken of back in Genesis, through the end times, spoken of in the last book of Revelation, God's motive is the message of salvation and eternal life in heaven with him. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack asks, why would God tell us that he's coming back? God wants us to know that he's coming back because he's coming for his church, to deliver that church from the earth before the days of the tribulation. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I love J. Vernon McGee. You guys know J. Vernon McGee. The guy's been dead for 20 years. He's more famous now than he ever has been. I mean, that's amazing. Dr. J. Vernon McGee says in his barnyard kind of way that Enoch walked with God. He walked one day. He said he walked one day so long with God that he walked so long with God that day that God said, Enoch, you know, it's closer to my house than it is to go back to your house. Let's just go to my house. And God took him. So you shouldn't be surprised that the Bible teaches that God is going to, as the Bible in the English puts it, rapture his church out of here because God did it with Enoch. Are there events in the Bible that sample or show us that God can remove people from this earth and bring that person or people into his presence? The answer is an overwhelming yes. Has it ever happened again? Look, if you're a detective, that's an important thing. Let's look into this person's history. Have they ever been open to thievery before? Are they prone to violence before? They look into a record. Does the person have a rap sheet? Why do they do that? What do they look at that? To see if there's any tendencies whereby they can build a case or conduct an investigation. Is God guilty? I mean that in a nice way. Is God guilty of rapturing people from the earth in history? Yes. Shouldn't surprise us. I'll give you another one. This is awesome. If I had to see Enoch, it would be okay, cool, sure, amazing. This is the one I'd like to see. It's in 2 Kings 2:11. The guy is Elijah. Elijah, God had revealed to Elijah, you're not going to die, and you need to get your affairs in order because I'm going to come and pick you up, and you need to tap Elijah, the man that you're tutoring, you be ready. So if you ever read your Bible, Elijah was amazing. He was track and field gold medalist. Elijah ran all over the place. Did you know he ran? You ought to read about how he ran. He ran from this place, delivered a message, and then a day or two later, he pops up in some other town in Israel, and he's delivering another message, and he ran. The Bible says he would run. Nobody could keep up with him. Elijah one day tried to keep up with Elijah, and that had to be funny. And he said, I want your ministry someday. And he said, yeah, well, don't worry about it, but if you can keep up with me, you'll have it. And one day they were there along the river, and the Bible says the sky began to become stormy-like, and in this whirlwind that began to come down out of the heavens, the Bible says that there was, as it were, a flame of fire and chariots of fire. And Elijah and Elijah both saw the presence of God above the chariot. And while they were looking, the Bible says Elijah was lifted up off the earth and pulled into the fire and into the chariots of God and taken to heaven. By the way, Elijah has not made his last appearance. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Elijah will return again to earth. That'd freak you out, wouldn't it? Actually, you're not going to be here, so you're not going to see that part. But he's going to arrive, by the way. The Bible says that the two witnesses of God will be in Israel when that happens. They'll appear. But both of these men escaped death, caught up to God. In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us of another rapture-like event when the man, evangelist, what's his name? Philip. Remember Philip in the Bible? The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that Philip was preaching, people were getting converted, and all of a sudden it says the Spirit of God picked him up from the earth. Can you imagine? And suddenly deposited him in another area where God wanted work to be done. No TSA, no security check, no airplane food. God moved him in an instant. God can move his people. And then listen to this one. Jesus himself experienced a translation. Call it a rapture, if you would. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible there begins by saying, "And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him, Jesus, out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white or shining apparel, who said to them, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come again in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Jesus is coming back, says the Bible. What an awesome truth. So listen, the hallmark poster of this event for the believer, it's what I am excited about. Let me share something personally with you before I read this verse or passage. I believe that Jesus Christ can come today. I don't say that because I'm supposed to. I, from the doctrines of the Bible, believe it because that's what the Bible teaches. However, I have been questioned. I was involved in a group in Washington, D.C. regarding not prophecy issues. It was regarding national policy. And I got up and I gave a message on why we should be engaging as Christians in national policy. And all these leaders from across America were there, church leaders and all. And I was the only Calvary Chapel there, a Calvary Chapel guy there within who knows how many miles. And as soon as I was done, a couple of men representing denominations knew Calvary Chapel's position on the imminent return of Jesus. These guys made a beeline for me and they said, "Hey, wait a minute. I thought you were Calvary Chapel." I go, "Well," and I, listen, this is between us. I ain't Calvary Chapel. I've never been Calvary Chapel. I ain't Calvary Chapel. No one in heaven's going to, Peter's not going to say, "Jack, do you have your Calvary Chapel card on you?" You understand that? Calvary Chapel is a gathering of believers. If I was to take a poll here right now, most of you are Catholics or former Catholics. You're Methodists, Lutherans. There's Baptists in here. There's Dutch Reform. There's you name it. That's awesome. Why? Because you're here because of the Bible. Okay, so here's the deal. This guy, knowing that we believe that the Lord could come back at any moment, this guy said, "I can't believe you're here because you believe Jesus could come back at any moment. So why would you guys get involved in any of this stuff?" And I go, "What is that supposed to mean?" He goes, "Well, you guys believe he could come back now, but we're talking about policy to shape the nation for the next 50 years. And I said, "Because, listen, it's possible he doesn't come back today. I got kids and grandkids. I got a plan for the future with one eye looking ahead and one eye looking up." Listen, don't think for a moment I am suggesting to you that because Jesus could come back at any moment, that you just put on a white robe and go sit on top of the roof. That's insane. Don't think for a moment, "Well, you know, I'm not going to go to school because Jesus could come back." Funny joke. That's not an excuse. Here's the deal. Because he could come back today, that should start a fire underneath you to get involved because you don't know the day or the hour. You should get involved and let the Lord interrupt our lives when he does receive us to himself. You say, "What if you live the whole rest of your life and you get hit by a truck or you die of old age and he hasn't come back yet?" I won't care. I'll be with him. And I would have lived the way he wanted me to live, which is keep the oil level high. Remember he said that. Keep the oil full. That is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Be spirit filled and be watching. And let the light so shine. Always, everywhere. It's funny because I get involved in that stuff, and then politicians think that I'm supposed to endorse them because I'm involved in that stuff. And that's, I don't like that. I get involved in that stuff because I've got grandkids. And I want to have a country that has some form of resemblance to what our founders gave us. So here it is. Listen to this. You know it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 says this. But I do not want you to be ignorant. The word is uneducated, uninformed. Brethren, he's talking to Christians, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's the Jewish term, Hebrew or Greek term, I should say, for died. Don't have a wrong understanding of those who you know as Christians who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Listen, Christian, if a fellow Christian dies, you can cry all you want. That's fine. Go ahead. Lament and weep and go through your grief. You're supposed to. But remember the hope you have while you're grieving. You're going to see them again. Amen. Isn't that good news? Yes. Have you lost it? Raise your hand if you've lost anybody who loved Jesus. You're going to see them again. I hope that's good news to you. Some of you are saying, oh no, really? We're going to see them again? Well, Paul says, don't sorrow like those who have no hope. He's speaking about the world. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring, listen, watch the technical description of this. So if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's a qualifier, watch. Even so God will bring with him those who died in Jesus. Stop right there, everybody. Where's God? Use your finger. Of course, it's, you know, we point up. He's everywhere, but go ahead and point up. He is somewhere, and the person who loved Jesus and died, believing in Jesus, is with him there, okay? He says right here that when they die, they're with him. Remember, we planted their body in the ground, but they weren't there. They didn't even attend their own funeral. They were with the Lord, okay? And so, they're with him. Notice what Paul is saying. This is awesome. He's going to bring with him those who died in Jesus. So where he is, they are now. Look at verse 15. For this is awesome. We say to you by the word of the Lord that we, not those, not them. Paul says, we, who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. In other words, their bodies are going to resurrect before we have a chance to be translated. How's that going to happen? Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead, that is their bodies, in Christ will rise. This is awesome. How's that going to happen? He's going to do it. I hope I'm doing a funeral that day at Rose Hills. Wouldn't that be great? And now we lay the remains of our brother here. Can you imagine? Lord, and you start hearing a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and all of a sudden, boop, Fred goes popping right out of the ground. What in the world? And then we follow right behind him up into the heavens. Wow, I want to see this. It's funny because we read stuff like that and they go, that's kind of like crazy, man. And then we go to the movie theater and watch all these amazing action figures. Isn't that awesome? Did you see Spider-Man? Did you see Superman do that thing? And what about Captain America? That was amazing. We get all excited about the stupid stuff we see on the TV screen. And then God says, oh yeah? Just wait. I'm going to spring dead people's bodies out of the ground. And then the people who believe in me at the moment that I come back, bodies are going to pop out of the ground. And people walking around that trust me, I'm going to scoop them right off the face of the earth. They're going to meet me in the atmosphere. And people go, I'm sure. But if we made it a movie, everybody would believe it. If we could just get Spielberg behind this, right? Then people would believe it. Not. No, they wouldn't. But we're still in 1 Thessalonians 4. Follow along with me. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be, there's the word, rapture, caught up. Rapture, Latin word, caught up, English word, harpazo, Greek word, harpazo. Sounds like it should have Italian sauce on it. Harpazo. Sounds spicy. It means to be violently or quickly removed. The Bible says there's going to be believers at a certain time where they're going to be quickly removed from the earth. when nobody's thinking about it, when nobody's aware of it. How awesome. And the word goes on. The scripture says that we're going to meet them, that is the bodies of those who have been resurrected, in the clouds. Also look, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore the rapture doctrine should scare you to death. You should vomit and be paranoid and ditch every service that talks about it. Avoid it at all costs. What does verse 18 say? It should comfort the believer. It should comfort the believer. Church, listen. When you hear the fact that the Bible teaches Jesus could come back at any moment, and it's a surprise that there's no forewarning. We're going to look at the things in the next few weeks. There's no warning to it. It's sudden. It affects those who are waiting and watching for him. It's supposed to comfort. Paul says it's a comfort to you. The believer who's walking with Jesus, it should be yes. Hey, listen, if you're battling cancer, this is good news right now. Listen, if you're battling life, are you a Christian? You're battling life. Hey, listen, look at the news. Don't panic. Don't worry. Well, things aren't working out right. I had hoped and I was wondering. Don't worry. It doesn't mean you walk around with your head in a hole in the ground. It means you walk around knowing that God's going to get you through these things. I was going to say by hook or by crook. God will get you through these things by his grace all the way, or by his grace up. And listen, it is absolutely essential that you as a believer, if you don't agree with God's word says, you don't try it, and you shouldn't agree with me. Don't even try to agree with me. You should judge everything that you're hearing in this pulpit with your Bible. And I want to submit to you today that the Bible says God is going to come and he's going to call his people up off the earth someday. It's what it says, no matter what your view is. There are good people regarding the doctrine of the rapture, the doctrine of end times. They place the rapture at different locations, and that's okay for them. I'm not going to get in an argument with them. For whatever it's worth, I used to be a post-tribber, and then I became a pre-tribber. So I can argue both sides. Here's the deal. No Christian denies the rapture is going to happen. That would be to deny Scripture. They just disagree where it happens and when it happens, okay? So we're going to be looking at some things, and for those of you who come back, and you come back, and you come back, and that's awesome, you're going to have a lot of fun. To those of you who are saying in your minds, I'm going to come back after this is over. It's too controversial. Of course it is. It's an awesome thing. The last church I went to didn't talk about this stuff. Well, that's a shame. But please, if today the thought of Jesus coming back frightens you, maybe that's the Holy Spirit saying something to you right now. Maybe the Spirit of God is saying, it's because Susie, Jimmy, John, you're not ready. Because you're supposed to be comforted by that. If you're not comforted, then what's with that? But let's pray right now. Let's just settle in right now and be honest with him, to him, regarding this issue. I kid you not, I'm not joking. I hope Jesus comes back any second now, okay? You say, well, Jack, you know, how self-righteous of you to think that. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Oh, no, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says even our righteous deeds are like filthy rags to God. No, don't mix the rapture event with our worthiness. Oh, no. What makes you rapturable is the blood of Christ on your life. Remember the Exodus? The people behind those doors were a bunch of stinkers. Why did the death angel pass over them? He saw blood. He saw the blood sacrifice and went over, left them alone. Do you have the blood sacrifice of Jesus upon your life? Are you trusting him 100% completely to get you to heaven and not yourself? Then you know what? Listen, I hope he comes today. If you knew where we were going and how it is up there and the temperature up there, it's going to be awesome. You'd want to go today. Father, we love you, God. We want to thank you for the fact that your word tells us that it's not something spectacular that we declare that we love you. It's that you loved us first. That's the miracle, that the God of all creation says to us that you love us. and that you've given us such events as we're studying in this series that bring hope to us. Dear Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, awesome, awesome God you are. We look around at the world right now, and people are holding their breath. Things seem to be coming unhinged. But everything is happening according to your plan. And in this plan of yours, you have always worked in a way to speak to your people. And dear God in heaven, we pray right now that you'd give our leadership wisdom and discernment. And Lord, we confess to you right now as a nation, we deserve anything that happens to us. We have evicted you from school campus. We've thrown you out of our courts. We have divorced you from our politics. We have told we've pushed the Bible away. We have removed the Ten Commandments from our civic centers. We deserve whatever comes. But we're not asking you, Lord God, to give us justice. We're asking you, Lord God, to give us your mercy. And God, that in a revival would sweep across America. And if we might be so bold, and Lord, if I'm sinning by making this request, please don't hear it. But I pray that the revival would start right here in the Southland, right here in Southern California. And Lord, if I dial down on my microscope, I pray that that revival across this nation would start right here. We ask in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Almighty God, for Jesus, the cross, the Christ, and the empty tomb by which we have the forgiveness of our sins. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and thank God that when He returns for us, it doesn't depend on our worthiness, but on whether we've accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. Who Told You About the End Times, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as His plan for our lives and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, I know you've always got your finger on the pulse of things to read and things to watch and whatnot. Is there anything special you'd like to throw out to our listeners today, just for grins?
Yeah, you know what? Recently, we've been talking about the church and all and various topics. I want to encourage all of you to just take advantage of a resource that is out there. It's a lot of fun. I share it with a lot of young people, but it's just a blast, everyone. Take the time to write this down. If not, you can visit our website and get the details more if you miss it. But I'd like you to go start checking out on a regular basis a website called gotquestions.org.
I'm putting it in my notes right now.
Absolutely. Gotquestions.org. It is a wonderful, quick reference, safe. It is, when I say safe, I mean it is conservative, biblical, Christ-honoring, God-exalting, high view of Scripture website where you can read on any topic. You can type, you can put in homosexuality, baptism, church, evolution, environment, death, heaven, hell, angels, demons. You can put it in there and you're going to be given about a 3 to 4 minute Bible study on that topic. It's a whole lot of fun. It's great to use as a conversational piece with believers and non-believers alike. Gotquestions.org. I highly recommend it. Go there and make it your own.
Gotquestions.org. Did you know that there is a real easy way to help support this ministry? All you need to do is download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and click the Donate button. That's a real easy way that you can help support this ministry. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the app. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.